Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Home, the biggest single-story display home in South Australia. Distinctivehomes.com.au.
6:11 Ruined Dits here on Triple M on this Monday morning. Cracker of a day outside, not a cloud in the sky. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Roo, there's been a backflip with these OTR cups.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can now use the reusable cups at OTR. And I think they've changed the rules and they've got a new system in place where they can clean your cup in about 30 seconds with boiling water in the 110 stores that they've got. So I think that's a win-win for everyone, really, isn't it? Because I think we all want the we don't want any more waste than we have to have, and people want to be able to use them at OTR. And I think OTR, I think it's a brave decision to change around what they've done. I think they're not too haven't got too big an ego to say, oh yeah, well we can do this better,
reverse the decision.
Yeah, so I think it's a win-win for everyone, and I think lots of people will be doing it in the future, I would suggest, because it is ridiculous. I mean, we had Freddie in from Canetto last week, and he says he serves 1,100 coffees a day, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right, so I would say probably at least 50%, probably 70% of his takeaway, wouldn't they be? Would they be half?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Even if it's half.
Yeah.
It's 500 a day, 3,500 a week. There's a lot of cups from one little coffee shop, isn't there?
Multiply that by every shop, you're right.
Yeah. So,
definitely.
The strawberry scenario is headed across the ditch.
So we've gone international.
Sort of.
Ridiculous.
Over to New Zealand, they've found a strawberry with a needle in it over there. Now, I don't know too much about it, but not good at all, Dits, if it's continuing to head across and people are continuing to think it's funny to do this sort of stuff. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
We saw all the images last week about it. So hopefully we're over the best of that, so we're over the worst of it in Australia anyway. So
all right. Now, something that comes up all the time, shark culling. Now, this is happening in Queensland right now. Apparently, they've culled four sharks as a result of the two attacks last week. Now, this is in the Whitsundays, and you've got to it's definite. It's about commercial reality here. They are concerned about their tourism and the effect it's going to have on it. Will people stop going there from around the world going, oh, don't swim there or don't dive there because people get taken by sharks?
Yeah.
So I guess they're coming out on the front foot, the locals, and saying, well, we'll do something about it.
Yep.
And they've killed four sharks. Is that the way to go, Roo?
I'm actually for a bit of shark culling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I am. I've got a lot of mates over in Port Lincoln, as you have, and they dive a lot over there. And we've protected white pointers since the, I think it's about mid-90s, and they say that there's more sharks than ever before.
Mm.
There's less other fish than ever before, so less food for them.
Yep.
And they're protected. And it's the same with, you know, crocodiles. They reckon in plague proportions up in Northern Territory, so I'm all for sustainable amounts of anything, really, whether it's white pointers, tiger sharks, camels in the desert, or bloody rabbits or whatever. I think if there's too much of it, it's not a good thing for anything, is it?
Probably not. So keep an eye on the numbers.
Yep, absolutely.
Don't eradicate them, but keep an eye on the numbers.
That's right. And if they're going to do it in a way that's, fair and respectful and humane, I suppose. And I don't think four tiger sharks is going to do their population too much harm.
Nah, we won't miss them.
I think tourism is important up there.
Mm. No, it is. You're talking about the Great Barrier Reef, the Whitsundays, for sure. Australian icons.
It's where everyone swims. You swim with lemon sharks. Have you ever swum with a lemon shark?
A lemon shark?
What's that? They're blind.
Are they?
Yeah, but they're
never heard of a lemon
shark. Scary when you got a shark next to you.
Why are they called lemon sharks? Any idea?
Because they're yellowy, I think.
Ah.
Yeah.
Jaundice.
I didn't really like the experience overly.
All right. Been on the grog, bad kidneys.
Yeah.
Time to open the phones up. We like to do this on a Monday on 1-3-3-5-3. You never know who's going to call in.
Yeah, let's go to our lines. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys. It's Murray on the Murray.
Hello, Murray. Muzz. How are you?
What about the result yesterday with North Adelaide? Have you seen the irony there?
What's the irony?
Well, they scored 19 goals.
Oh, right.
Do you know how many points they won, boy?
How many?
19.
Oh, get out.
Come on.
Are you serious?
How many men do they have on the field?
Well, that's what we're asking. Oh. You know what the temperature was when they bounced the ball first time?
Oh, stop. What was it?
19 degrees.
Come off it, Murray. Come on.
What song did they play before the
game?
Well,
I'll tell you what. You know, I've been talking to the Furnace, who's heard a rumour.
Hang on. Why is he, just refresh our memory, why is he called the Furnace?
Well, when he goes out, it's always his shout. He's the Furnace. He always goes out when it's his shout.
Oh, right. Okay. I can see the connection there.
And, you know, Michael David QC decided that they should play.
Yeah, the Honourable.
The Furnace reckons he lives in a house. You know what number it is?
What? No.
They reckon it's not it.
Oh, come on.
Oh, stop.
And they reckon the rumour up here on the Murray is that the local news agent who sells him his paper barracks for the Roosters.
Right.
Oh, that's okay.
The connection.
Is that it?
But you know what else the Furnace has heard?
Oh, what?
Josh Carr is trying to get some entertainment for the grand final celebrations. You know which band he's trying to get?
Not Red Gum.
No, he's trying to get the Jackson 6.
And why is that? I thought it was only Jackson 5.
Exactly.
Oh. Right. All right, good on you, Mars.
All right. Hello, good morning. Who have we got next?
Hello, Wally. Is that you, Wally?
Hello.
Hello, is that Wally from Woodville? Hello,
please. Wally.
I've lived in Woodville for all of my life.
Right. How many years is that, Wal?
I just saw the game. We were robbed. They had 19 men on the field.
No, that was last week. No. That was last week, Wally.
Anyway, Jazz and Louis for all your finals week needs.
Right. All right. Thanks, Wally.
So, Wally.
Stay on the line for a prize, Wal. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys.
Who's that?
Are you, Tex?
That's Tex.
Hello, Tex.
Yeah, look, I'm just ringing up to apologise. I won't be in tomorrow.
Why?
What do you mean?
I'm going to the Brownlow tonight, so.
Oh, of course.
Oh, right, you can't get up after the Brownlow.
Hey, Roo, I heard you talking about that shark thing, and you said there's too many.
Well, some people say that.
How do you count them?
It's not easy. Well, you have to swim a lot.
Because you can't see them for a start.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're all over the taxi. Good point.
I heard that you know why they're called a shark?
Why?
Because the first bloke who was ever attacked by one, he wanted to say a swear word. He wanted to say the S word.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted to say the F word.
Oh, right.
And you don't know which one to say, and so you just yell out, shark.
well, that's a good idea.
How that happens, yeah.
Keeps it clean for kids.
Yeah. All right, get on your text.
Hey,
yeah.
Hear about the bloke that started a bonsai, he opened a bonsai shop?
No, about him?
Well, it was so successful, he moved to smaller premises.
Righto. Goodbye, Tex. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Right, time for one more call, Roo.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Hello, Roo boy. Hello, Ginger.
Hello, Tommy.
You know, I have a special to celebrate for the winning of North Adelaide.
Right, hang on. Now, just remind people, what's the restaurant called again?
I run down in Goodyear Street, the New Jade Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw Picking Mandarin. And you
that's
come down.
Oh, yeah. That's the one.
Now, we have special for North Adelaide this week.
Right.
We have rooster skewer.
Rooster skewers.
Right.
What we have planned a dish, you know, we have 18 little bits of rooster on skewer, you know.
Yeah.
And my head waiter, way too low. He watch you eat them, and just when you get down to last bit, he come and run with some tongs and give you 19 bits.
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Oh, that'll work.
See you, little boy. See you, Ginger Nuts.
See you, Tommy. Tommy Tai Chi. We love going down there on a Friday for a bit of yum cha.
We sure do.
All right. Now, Roo, baby names. We like to touch on these from time to time, but an article that caught my eye this morning, page 3 of the Advertiser, beautiful picture.
Six sets of twins
delivered at the Lowell McEwen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrific. That's beautiful. However, how can I say this being diplomatic?
What do you have rules? Reckon they need to be screened?
Should we screen people and parents about names they can give their kids? Now it's up to people. I mean, should you be able to call your kid Rocco Ricciuto, for example? No, I'm
only kidding. I copped a lot of. I was in trouble there for a minute with Rocco.
To the parents out there, and God love you, and it's your prerogative and your right, but just think about what your kids are going to go through. And if you're listening, this couple, please ring us, and you should be so happy you've just had these beautiful twins. But, Roo, they've called them Love You and Love. Now, if you think
what's
I'm making this up.
You don't know?
Yeah, it says Dave. Now, if you think I'm
love
making
Dave
this up.
Love and Love You, Dave.
Yeah.
Hang
on, don't laugh. That's what they've named their kids.
I'm just thinking of it.
But it does get me thinking a little bit. And should we have rules and restrictions on what we're allowed to name our kids? Some people listening would say, well, Christopher's a stupid name. And I get
and
that.
Mark
and Mark.
Matthew
who would have thought of calling their kids Mark? Fair dinkum.
Yeah, well.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, that's right.
So, baby name, should there be restrictions on this? And these kids have to live with this for the rest of their lives.
I think you go, especially if you've had a few, you start going looking for a bit.
Well, you run out
different.
Of names eventually. I mean, I went to a Catholic school. One of my mates, you know, comes from 14 kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you do run out of names.
Any
eventually.
Strange ones in the 14 that you can remember, or they just keep them simple?
No, they stuck with the Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
Yep.
Outrageous as they were in the day. Gee.
My mother-in-law wasn't happy with Rocco when we said it was Rocco. She can't call a kid Rocco.
Yeah, but Roo, that's what mother-in-laws are for.
Yeah, that's right.
If you can't give them something to whinge about, you know, for God's sake.
When you look at them, that's
your job.
He caught 10 out of the 30 whiting on the weekend, Rocco.
Oh, there you go. Good on Rocco.
He's paid for himself.
Look, a couple of questions here. Wild and wacky. Every time we do this, the phones light up. Wild and wacky baby names. But also, should we, as a birth, deaths and marriages office, should we say, sorry, mate, but we're not accepting that.
Well, you'll love
we're
this
rejecting.
One. The last one we called Tom. Remember we did a vote here on Triple M because I couldn't.
Tom, what were you thinking?
Yeah, well, I couldn't think of anything and I wanted to call him Cisco.
What?
Yeah, I was going to call him Cisco.
What, named after a supermarket?
Little Cisco kid.
Cisco?
See, that's what.
Cisco Ricciuto, you are an idiot. You are the people I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly.
You
You're
should
talking
be banned.
About me and love and love you.
You should not be allowed to have children.
Well, that's right. I was going to call him Little Cisco. Here you go, Cisco. Come on.
That'll be his nickname from now on.
The Cisco kid.
I'm going to call him Cisco.
I thought it had a bit of a ring to it.
Yeah.
But I ended up going with Tom.
Thank God for that. Hey, give us a ring, 133353. Should we have restrictions on baby names? And give us your wacky one as well. If your neighbour or your sister or someone you know has called their kids something outrageous, I'd love to hear it.
Love you.
Love you and love.
Love you, love you.
Mm.
I love you, love you.
All right, Ruined It's here on Triple M, 133353. Give us a call. Crazy, wacky baby names. Should it be allowed?
Should it be allowed? Let's go to Elizabeth Downs. G'day, Carol.
Morning, lad. Yeah, a friend of mine walked into work proud as punch. Her granddaughter had been born, and we all congratulated her. We said, what do we call her? And she said, Paige.
Oh, that's all right.
Her last name was Turner.
Paige Turner, that's all right.
I like it.
Yeah. Did you want to know how I got my name?
Yeah.
Back in the day, fathers used to write out the birth certificate or the paperwork at the hospital.
Yeah.
Dad was absolutely hammered. I was supposed to be Karen, so he spelt my name, it was so illegible, it turned out I was Carol, C-A-R-R-O-L.
Right.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, well done. All right. Good on you, Carol, with a double R.
Yeah. We'll take some more calls on crazy baby names or different sorts of baby names. 133353. We've got tickets to go to the Murray Bridge Gold Cup for the best.
Hey, in
worst.
The hospitality suite, if you don't mind, the Carlton Draft Murray Bridge Gold Cup.
Oh, that is
Cup.
Very good in there, too. Mm. I've been in there a couple of times. Give us a buzz. 133353 on different sorts of baby names.
6:57, a heap of twins have been born at the Lowell McEwen over the last few days. A big article in the paper today, page 3, beautiful photo of all these little kids.
What was one of the
and
twins
And one
called?
Of the sets of twins are called Love You and Love. They're the two names that Mum and Dad came up with. It just got us thinking.
What Have about you... your mate? His surname was Peacock.
Well, they called it, quite innocently, they called their boy Drew.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with Drew.
Nothing
I like
wrong
the
with Drew until you say it quickly, Droopy. If you say it like that, and I won't go on with it, but Drew,
Peacock,
Drew Peacock, if you say it,
yeah. That's Drew all right. Let's go to Royal Park. G'day, Grant.
G'day, how you going?
Good, Grant.
My name's Absidy. Well, not my name, but the name that I got told about,
Absidy. Hang on, what do you mean you got told about?
A friend of mine works in child services.
Yeah.
Okay, so spelled ABCDE.
What works in child services is in this kid's been not... looked after properly, or
no, just know of the name.
Just know of the name. Yeah, I don't know what to call it. It's called it ABCDE.
Doesn't sound that bad. Absidy.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah, easy to remember.
You should be able to remember how to spell it.
Yeah,
if you know the alphabet.
Righto.
Let's go to Stansbury. G'day, Harry.
G'day, Roo. Dits, how you going, boys?
Good, mate.
Good. Yeah, about 15, 16 years ago, I was at the junior football netball presentations in Oranuri.
In Oranuri.
Yeah, good spot. And doing the presentations for the junior netballs, and the girl that won the one trophy, her name was Jenna Taylor.
Oh, yes.
That's true, boys. And she won two trophies, so we didn't get it wrong.
Okay. All right. She's got plenty of ability then. Well done. Jenna. Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, right. Simon.
Yeah, good morning, boys.
Just turn your radio down, please, Simon, if you could.
Yeah,
there you
she's
go.
Down. Sorry, right boys.
You're on.
You're
yeah.
on, mate.
Yeah. One of my best mates, a boy's name's Buddy Orson.
That's bloody awesome, isn't it?
Bloody awesome. That's right, Ruth.
Yeah, good on you, Simon. Have a good day up at Mount Barker, mate. Let's take our last caller down at Hackham. G'day, Mark.
Morning, fellas.
What do you got for us?
Hey, I was in the Monaro Club a few years ago, and one of the blokes there called his son Brock Monaro, which was like, yeah, okay, no worries. And then backed it up, he called his daughter Mona Rose. So when you spelt it out, it said Monaro's on paper.
Yeah,
right. All right.
He's dedicated.
He loves his Monaros, doesn't he?
Thanks, Mark. Good on you, mate. Let's get to tonight's Brownlow Roo. Hey, by the way, before we do, good predicting again on the weekend. Let's go back to Friday morning.
Give us a tip, Roo. Collingwood.
Spot on. Most of the world thought that Richmond were going to win, but not Roo.
Did have a good feeling about Collingwood with the team that they had in. But
all your predictions were right, too, about what happened in the game.
Well, yeah, got something right. I couldn't back the winner on the horses, though. But anyway, or Melbourne. The Brownlow tonight, going to be fantastic. I think the favourite will get up Tom Mitchell. I mean, he's $1.40. He's had so many touches of the ball. He's had 50 touches several times, 40 touches a heap of times. You can't get that much ball and not stand out.
Not get noticed.
So I think he's going to be hard to beat. But if I was going to have one bet, I'd be going on Maxi Gawn each way.
Maxi Gawn?
Yeah, I think he stands out. There's been a lot of talking about him. They've won a lot of games. He takes a lot of marks. You know, he's got a big profile. He's on TV. He's all over the shop. So I reckon Maxi Gawn is a good, he's about double figure odds too, if you're looking to have a little investment.
All of the predictors in the paper over the weekend have got Cripps scoring a lot of votes, Dangerfield scoring a lot of votes.
Yeah, Cripps is a chance, definitely. He's been dominant, but in a losing side, so might get lots of ones and twos when you're playing, you know, heavily losing sides.
What about Danger? What sort of years are you?
No, he'll get some threes. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if he'll get enough votes to win, but he'd be just about a lock for your your top five or something like that. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Brody Grundy gets a few votes. He's had a hell of a year too. Mm-hmm. He was on fire, certainly, through the first half of the year. Got a bit injured there for a little while, but he was dominant as well.
Will Rory Laird poll a heap of votes?
I reckon Lairdy will probably get around 12 to 15, sort of in that category. But these days, with players not getting tagged as much as they used to, they sort of usually win with 25 to 30. They get a lot more votes than what they used to. So I think Lairdy will poll pretty well. You can get 100 to 1 for him today. Mm. That's how much they think he's a chance of winning. Robbie Gray's the leading Port player at 150 to 1. So And don't be surprised if Dusty polls more votes than you think as well, because quite often they do. Chris Judd won his second medal and he didn't expect to win one, so you can quite often do that. Alan Good's probably not dissimilar. So, so that could be interesting tonight as well.
But Mitchell's your favourite tonight.
If I had to pick the one to win, I'd go for them. If I was having a bet with my hard earned, I'd go Max Gawn each way at 10.
All right, that's how Roo sees the Brownlow. Just
Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman. I'm Anthony Lehman.
Oh, good morning, Lehmo, on this Monday.
Oh, great to be with you guys. What a fantastic Monday. Yeah. And I imagine all you guys have spoken about so far this morning is the fact that Hawthorn won two flags yesterday.
I saw that, Lehmo. Well,
what do you mean?
Congratulations.
Yes, mate, the VFL and the VFLW.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about the VFLW. Yeah, yeah, good work. Yeah, you're never far away from winning something. You'll probably win the Brownlow tonight.
Actually, you know what? Well, Tom Mitchell, as you were just discussing, short prize favourite. So fingers crossed on that one there. Hey, what a weekend. I know you guys have discussed it all, of course, but a couple of quick ones for you from the weekend. So Mason Cox, right, Friday night, he's been playing AFL. I've been married longer than he's been playing AFL footy. Right. And he, on the weekend, did you hear the crowd chanting USA?
No.
The crowd at the MCG were chanting USA. Wow. USA.
Really?
Yes, they were. It was like, you know, in Rocky IV, when the Russians start chanting USA, Rocky Balboa.
Yep.
It was bloody terrifying. But I thought, is there a chance that Donald Trump would get news of this and it may actually make his way to the grand final? But the only bit of good, he needs some good news, Donald Trump.
Trump, he'd fly out.
Could he make it to the MCG?
Get him to get around in an open top car, Trumpy. That'd be good.
He'd love it at halftime with the retired players. It was amazing. It was magnificent. You know, I don't like Mason Cox playing so well. You know why?
Why?
Because we love our game, and it's a great game of footy, the greatest athletes in the world. It's a weird-shaped ball. We're very proud of our game. In America right now, you know what they're doing? They're looking at us going, hang on a sec, a bloke who's been playing, a basketball reject has been playing it for 3 years, and he's the best player on preliminary final weekend.
No.
How easy is Aussie Rules footy?
There is a little bit of that in it, isn't there?
It really does take the edge off. Yeah. And Eddie's come out and said his mantra for this week, his mantra, true story goes, the mantra is loose as a goose.
What does he mean by that?
Well, he got it off John Bertrand. John Bertrand, when Australia 2 won the America's Cup, he wrote it on the, is it called a steering wheel on a boat? I don't know, Roo. You get out of whatever it is.
Flywheel, is it?
But anyway, he had loose as a goose written on the steering wheel of Australia 2. That was their mantra.
Right.
Just take it easy.
Just relax.
Just relax. So that's the mantra, loose as a goose.
Yeah, but when you haven't won for 123 years, you've got to try something. That was a bit different.
Dane Swan's been taking that for years.
Well, Swanee's made himself available for this week after hearing that. And I believe the Collingwood boys are on Mad Monday today. So Eddie might regret the loose as a goose.
Yeah, have a few beers at the Brownlow. Yeah, you'll be right.
And on Saturday, gee, Melbourne didn't quite account for the time difference, did they?
No, they didn't.
To WA. How's did you see the WA police force put out a tweet? This is the official WA police Twitter. Goes, and this is at the end of the game. Missing Melbourne Demons. Were expected at Optus Stadium just after one this afternoon. Seems they have gone, J-A-W-N, missing.
Yeah, the old
nice,
cops.
Nice work from the WA police there.
Yeah.
Just a sorry exit for those two teams on the weekend. And I was watching Richmond Friday night thinking, God, they remind me. Richmond remind me of someone here. Who do they? Oh, they remind me of Richmond.
So Melbourne were like that too of a few years ago.
They played exactly like Richmond have been playing for 37 years.
They turned back the clock.
They really did. You guys earlier today were talking about names.
Baby names.
Your kids. A couple of weird baby names popping up over the weekend. And, Roo, you were saying six kids. Hard to keep coming up with fresh names.
No.
That's get over to this. George Foreman, 13 kids, George Foreman.
Yeah, we would have struggled.
Six of them are called George.
Six of them are called George?
Six boys are called George, and he's got a daughter called Georgetta.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Bull dust.
Yeah, he's absolutely
Georgetta.
True. Georgetta.
Why didn't he say what was the first six boys, George, or like at the end of the
Oh, there's
13.
a little bit of a mix. The 13th kid is George the 6th.
Do they all get royalties for the George Foreman grew as well or not?
Well, I think George's and the Georgetta will have to share the George Foreman grill when he's gone. the other six are just going to bloody miss out.
George Foreman.
God. Hey, quick one for you guys. Does this bother you two as much as it bothers me? I read on the weekend a stat that there are 40,000 pilots in Australia.
40,000 pilots.
40,000 pilots.
What bothers you?
I'll tell you what bothers me about that. One of them must be the best because they're not all equally skilled, are they?
No, right? Definitely
so
not.
So one is the best pilot in Australia, which means there's another one who's the worst pilot 40, in Australia. The 40,000th best pilot in Australia. Yeah. And we've got no idea if they're flying us.
No.
We've got no idea at all. Why don't we forget tennis and golf rankings? I want bloody rankings on these pilots. We rate Uber drivers, right? Why don't we rate pilots?
I don't really want to know.
We, We rate fridges and washing machines.
Yeah.
When are we going to start rating pilots? I want to know how good my pilots are. Shivers. I want to have the option of getting off the plane if I've got 2 1 stars.
Well, actually, I just want them breath tested. That's all I want to know.
Strap yourselves before in.
Before you take off.
Yeah. Strap yourselves in. You get the 40,000th pilot.
We're on 2 1 stars today, guys. Yeah. Or if you're doing a chopper, a scenic ride around Catherine Gorge, just say, hey, mate, what's your star?
Yeah, what are you ranked?
I'm on half a star at the moment. Get in, guys. We'll be right.
Good on you, Lebo.
All right.
We'll talk during the week, mate.
Ruined it on Triple M. Through something you and I have been talking a lot about in recent months is bullying at school, but via mobile phones and the amount of time our kids are online.
Social media
and all of those sorts of things. I was really interested to see over the weekend, front page of the Sunday Mail, our Education Minister John Gardner suggesting he'd like to see some of this stuff banned. And you know what? I think you and I are all for this. We're all over it. Let's get him on. John Gardner, good morning.
G'day, how you doing?
Good, John.
John, as parents and just as, citizens, we are sick and tired of hearing about kids that are going through hardship because of bullying and also just...
They're committing suicide.
Yeah, well, kids are suiciding, but let's even take it into the home, John, where I think we're all sick and tired of kids sitting at the table and just ignoring all of us and living on their phones. What would you like to see happen?
Well, look, there is a discussion nationally about whether you ban mobile phones from schools. Here in South Australia, principals and classroom teachers have the power to do that in their circumstance if they want to. We haven't got it universally because some schools have got some programs that they use for STEM learning where they actually use the mobile phone in the classroom. That can happen. So the New South Wales government's doing a trial and a research on what they reckon best practices, and we'll have a look at that when it comes out. But more in line with this bullying issue, one of the really scary things about cyberbullying is that it follows you into the home. When in the education department in our schools, we can have a look at what happens in the schoolyard, but we need to be helping parents to understand how they can best help their kids at home. Because if you've got cyberbullying going on, it following you into the home,
yep,
then that's a really scary proposition. That's not the sort of bullying that any of us grew up with.
Yeah, it's relentless. It's non-stop. It's around the clock. And I feel for these kids. Like, I was one of the bigger kids at my school. You used to have a little bit of fun every now and then, but you never went too far. I don't know what these kids, the modern kids are getting off on.
Yeah.
By absolutely pushing people to the brink of whether they want to bloody live or not. It's just ridiculous, John. I don't get it.
Well, bullying is what happens when you are relentlessly pursuing somebody and using some of these modern tools. That's really quite concerning. So the government's looking very seriously at this. We've got a survey on the government's Your Say website that all of your listeners are welcome to go in and have a crack at and have a look at. We've also got a roundtable coming up where we're going to be looking at some of these things in great detail as to how we can make sure that our laws are best placed to look after our kids. Frankly, there's a lot of challenges for us as a community to work with. This isn't just an issue for schools or for parents. We've also got to think about the way that we demonstrate behaviours in front of children because, of course, they learn from what they see.
Yep, they sure do. And we talk about adults being addicted to their phones. Another one we wanted to throw at you, John. Ditz and I have been speaking about social media. Does the state government or federal government have any intention of tightening the laws up about what is allowed to go on the social media or even on text messaging or stuff like that? Shouldn't people be 100% accountable for the stuff they say on social media or on phones in general? Because at the moment they are texting and sending messages that are absolutely brutal and forcing people to do things.
And they use a pseudonym, John. I mean, I guess the thing what Roo and I are saying is you should have to put your name, like Roo and I have to put our name to what we say on air. Why not on social media? You actually have to put your name to it.
So there's a few issues there. I mean, one of the things is that when people are using their own accounts on social media, they should be aware that they're publishing things just like if they were going to put it on a newspaper or say it on a radio show, so that they are able to be held accountable to that. They can be sued for defamation. And if they're using the social media site in a way to bully or harass, then there are legal implications there. And not everyone's aware of that. In relation to those trolls who use fake names to harass people, you know, that's a real concern. We've got an e-safety commissioner operating out of Canberra, who has lines to Facebook and Twitter. And so when people are feeling like they're having, you know, photos of them used maliciously, those sorts of things. There is a process where we can approach those social media channels to get things removed. But look, I would love it to be simpler, and so it's something that we're going to keep doing work on.
Yep. Good on you, John. Thanks so much for joining us, and we're on your side with this. John Gardner, our Minister for Education. Rue, I'd like to take some calls on this. 133353, and you might think this is drastic. I would like to see phones banned at school. Why do kids have to have their phone at school?
Yeah, unless they're using it for the internet in classes or something like that.
Bad luck. Use the school's facilities, tools and resources. Mm. So if they've got iPads and computers in the classroom for that purpose, good on you.
What do teachers think? What do you think, teachers, if you're there, or parents, or even students, if you're listening right now, give us a buzz. Should you be able to use phones in schools, full stop?
Yeah, 133353. What do you think?
Oh, we're taking calls here, Dits, about phones in schools. Ban Have they them. Got a role? Should they be banned? Are they worthy or not? Let's go to Black Forest. What do you think, Michelle?
Oh, hi. Now, I'm a teacher, so this has been an issue in my life for a long time.
Yep.
However, so what I do, I just got that fed up with it this year. I've got a box, and if the rule is now in my classroom, if I see your phone, I take it.
Mm.
So I put it in the box at the front of the room. You get it at the end of the lesson. It's working very well. I also say to the kids, if you feel like you're going to be distracted by it, put it in the box.
What age are the kids that you teach, Michelle?
High school, so year 8 to about year 11.
Okay.
Yeah, and because I've just been asking them, you know, how do you feel when I take the phone? Is the lesson going better for you if you don't have your phone? And they all admit it is so much better if they don't have their phone.
Yeah.
Like, they just, it avoids the distraction. And sometimes I'll give the kids' phone back and I have a look and they've received 22 messages in that time.
Oh, what? That's incredible.
Yeah, so their phones are going off constantly because they're always Snapchatting and messaging.
Yeah.
And I think, how can you concentrate?
Well, you can't.
If you're just, you can't.
But Michelle, what do you think then if we took them away at the start of the day and gave them back, you know, at when school gets out?
Leave it in your bag.
So a lot of primary schools do that.
Yeah.
And the classroom teacher locks them up in the morning. But in a high school setting, I don't think you could. Also, the thing with our school, so I do this, this is my own thing, but if something happens to that phone or that phone gets stolen, it's kind of my responsibility.
Yeah, right.
So that's the whole thing. They're worth a lot of money and, you know, you have to police
it. Michelle, what I'm advocating is, look, we think it's important for kids to have a phone. I understand that because of any danger or, you know, I need to get picked up by my parents, anything, I understand that, but I think leave it in your bag at the start of the day and you get it out again at the end of the day. So it stays in your school locker all day or in your school bag or something. But we just never, ever want to see your phones out. You're at school, you're here to learn, you're here to do schoolwork.
And no, I agree.
At the end of the day, get
I just don't know
out.
How you police it.
Well, just put it in a safe or something.
Yeah, I agree totally. I think they're a huge distraction. They're not needed at all.
Hmm.
However, kids are now like adults, and it's like cutting off their left hand.
Well, yeah. They need to be.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Good call. More calls in just a moment. 133353. Coming out to 8:30, something we've talked a lot about in recent times, banning phones in high schools, Roo.
Did you know when you do work and you got your phone ringing, it's a distraction, and sometimes you just got to shut stuff off to focus? How do kids know that this happens? Or they don't even care, do they?
No, probably not.
They're more interested in getting distracted than getting being productive. Let's go to Glenelg. G'day, Claire.
Hi, how you going?
Good, thanks, Claire.
Good. I've got my 9-year-old in the car, Nicholas.
Hey, Nicholas.
Hi.
How are you, mate?
Good.
Is this your first time on radio?
Is this your first time? Yes.
All right.
All right.
Yes.
Don't swear, Nicholas.
Yep, don't swear, Nicholas, okay? Okay, so I'm a teacher. I'm studying to be a teacher, and my son is 9, and we've been talking about it. And he said that you should be allowed to use your phones in the classroom if you're looking for something as part of an activity at school.
Yeah.
So if you were doing some research or something.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But, yep. So,
now, Nicholas, though, are you a bit sneaky? Do you sometimes look up other things that you shouldn't be looking up?
No.
Oh, come
Can't
on,
tell
Nicholas.
Us, Nicholas.
Come on.
Nicholas is only 9. He doesn't have a phone yet.
Oh, right. Okay. Righto.
So but Claire, what he did say though was that if you don't learn how to do the right thing with a phone, you never have those skills.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, we understand your point.
he said that what you should do is that you should set up like some rules at the beginning of the year, and that the kids should be allowed to be part of setting those rules.
Yep.
And that way, if they can't keep to the rules, then they know that the outcome from that or the consequence from that is something that the whole class is like made up what happened.
I like your thinking, Nicholas.
Now,
I agree with you.
What school do you go to?
St. George College.
St. George.
Righto. All right. Good luck. Thanks, Claire, and thanks, Nicholas. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Mount Barker. Good morning, Les.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I reckon you can't really take the phones away from the kids because they do need them. But with all the bullying side of things, if somebody's known to be bullying and the other party who is getting bullied actually dobs them in, so to speak, then why can't the telcos actually cancel their contract for a month? And kids without a phone for a month, that's really going to hurt them. And maybe
the dollar-wise... impose some penalties.
Go further than taking the phone away, Les. Actually get them done for being a bully. There should be actually a charge for that these days.
Good on you, Les. Let's go to Athelstan. Hello, Jemima.
Yeah, hi. A couple of comments from the other callers first.
Yep.
A friend of ours who's a teacher at a major high school said that when kids are going from classroom to classroom, what's the lesson? Time for school. They're constantly looking at their Facebook, whatever, you know, social media they're on, and they're totally distracted by the time they get back into the classroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if it's only 10 minutes from classroom, you know, lesson to lesson.
Yeah.
But I really didn't even school at all if it's going
to
be...
Jemima, your line's no good. I'm really, really sorry. You're dropping out. We're going to have to move on, unfortunately.
They don't need to be on Facebook and that in between lessons. They should be concentrating on what they're doing in the next lesson.
How about talk to your mate as well? What about talk to your friend for 2 minutes? Would that hurt or not?
Yeah. Let's go to Andrew's farm. G'day, Kerry.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, Kerry. Good.
I believe that we should go back to our old schooling system where they get textbooks out, encyclopedias, no more internet, no phones at school. I don't believe it. My kids all went through school without phones.
Yep.
When we moved to Victoria, my kids had to get laptops. And I still banned them from using the laptops. I told them to go read an encyclopedia because they're not learning to read and write if they're on a computer all the time.
All right, get out the Funkin' Wagnalls.
Yeah, Funkin' Wagnalls.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Rue, tell me, and I think I know the answer to this, but at your house, dinner time, are there any phones or iPads at the dinner table?
No.
And you encourage...
We turn the TV off and everything.
Yeah, so you encourage interaction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love to see a lot of families now, and I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but go around, I reckon what we used to do is you go around the table, everyone's got to tell a story from today. What happened today?
Yeah, what happened today? What'd you learn?
Yep. Or something good that happened to you. Tell us about an experience today.
Yep. Good on you, Uncle Ditz.
Yeah. You get what I mean? I'd say, yeah, I lost again. Yeah, no, it was another bad day, but anyway, we move on.
Went down the local.
Yeah.
Hey,
backed a few losers.
Stop talking about this bloody footy mo. Drop it.
I've verified it now. I'll give it to you next. It's going to affect your club in some way.
Oh, come
the mighty Camry Crows.
And you can another player.
You can tell me whether I'm right or wrong. All right.
Something about the preseason camp.
No. Moved on from that.
Okay, good. Now, what's your
footy news? Okay, so Roo, priority picks have been, and people will yawn. Go, oh, priority picks. That's big. Well, this affects the Adelaide Football Club, and I'll tell you why in a second. The AFL is going to put the kibosh on the talk of priority picks. Well, they won't allow Carlton and the Gold Coast to have priority picks, which has been
talked
about. Brisbane, right.
As well.
Now, as you know, Roo, what it means normally, now Carlton have got number one pick, all right? So a priority pick in the past would mean that they might get number two as well.
Exactly.
The talk has been that maybe they will be at the end of the first round, so pick 19, pick 20, as well as your first pick, or maybe they would give them some picks in the middle, so at about number 12 or number 13.
Mm-hmm.
The AFL will announce soon none of that is going to happen. No priority picks. Now,
where did you get this from?
From the same bloke that told me about Jared Polek. So it's an impeccable source.
Yep.
So I'm going out on a limb to say that it's correct, that it's absolutely right.
Right.
Mitch McGovern trying to find a new deal and has been linked to Carlton.
Yep.
That affects the Crows. So what do you get for Mitch McGovern? He will now not go to Carlton because they're not going to give you pick number one. Because that's the only way it'll happen. So right now... What else can they offer you? If they won't give you pick one, what's their next pick?
Well, they got pick 23 and 25.
Right, so you're not going to take that for Mitch McGovern.
You wouldn't think, would you?
Right?
No, we'd get
shot. So I'd say that deal was off the table. from where I sit.
Well, unless they get adventurous and come up with different ways of, you know, maybe giving away pick 23 and 25 to someone to get another pick, or maybe they ask for us to give more picks to get pick one, or who knows what's going
to
happen.
Part B to this story, which I find quite interesting.
They have to get something though, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to get?
Well, some people are saying no. Like,
are they going to get something else though?
Right, this is part B to this story. What the AFL are looking at doing, and I think it is going to happen, they are going to give some sort of compensation to Carlton and the Gold Coast by saying, before the draft even starts, we're going to let you go to the state leagues and pick the three best players out of the, in other words, ready bodies, to, you know, bodies that are ready
mature
to go
age.
Mature age. This brings a Mitch Grigg into calculation, I believe. I think yesterday Mitch Grigg showed that he's the best player in the state leagues. Obviously, we don't know every waffle player at the moment.
He's best in the SANFL.
But he's the best here. All I'm saying, Roo, is if Carlton get three, Gold Coast get three, there's six players around Australia that are ready to go, as you said, mature bodies, mature age.
Ready to play.
That are going to be
can
picked
help
up.
Them straight away.
Because what they're saying is Carlton need, ready-to-go players, not 17, 18-year-olds. They need players that are ready to go, as do Gold Coast. And I think you're fine. That's what's going to happen. So I wish
so they
Mitch
get
Grigg
that
all
pick
the best.
Before all the other clubs do. So
before everyone
like
else.
Geelong wouldn't be able to get a Tim Kelly, the Indigenous lad that's been a star for Geelong this year. So they'll all go to Carlton and Gold Coast.
Yeah. So anyway, the reason I mention it is I think that your club is going to have to start doing some negotiating, or Mitch Grigg's management is, or someone's going to have to, if you get that to get that deal done. Does that make sense?
All right. Who is this Jared Pollock info?
I don't know, but he's all right, isn't he?
Well, let's see. Let's don't start going off a bit early yet. All we haven't found out.
Wait and see.
All right, mark that time and date down at 8:50.
But I want to say good luck to Mitch Grigg too. I hope he gets a spot.
Hopefully somewhere. He does. 24th of September at 8:50. Dits.
Thank you. Another
bit of good mail.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Home, the biggest single story display home in South Australia. Distinctivehomes.com.au.